Please stand for the reading of God's holy word as I preach in your hearing by the grace of God, How to Hope, Lessons from the Israelites in the Old Testament and their Messianic Expectation. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. The Bible reads, the Holy Word of God reads, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." That's the mark of a faithful man, an obedient man. He's always where he's supposed to be. And he answers quickly. Unlike Adam, when God was calling out for him, "Adam, where art thou?" And I believe God is calling out for many of his children today who have gone away from him. Be that as it may, verse 2 reads, "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up early. And by the way, please notice how God will lead us. He will tell us to go, and then he'll tell you the next steps later. He did that to Abraham when he told him to leave his country and his kinfolk. And now he's doing it again. And that's how he does us. When you take one step up the stairway to heaven, if you will, the stairway of faith, that's all you can take, because you walk by faith and not by sight. And this is what frustrates so many so-called believers. They want to know everything. But God in his wisdom knows that you can't handle everything. Anyway, verse 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass." It's okay, people. That's what they called it back in the day. A donkey. Saddle his ass. And as soon as you say that today, people look at you funny. Some people start snickering. But that's the old way of saying it. "And took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Notice the faith that Abraham had in God. "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Notice the faith Abraham had in God, and how that he knew God was a God of grace, mercy, and love, and not like the other false gods. He said, and they went both of them together. And he said, and the lad will go yonder and worship rather and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you not only for your love, your grace, and your mercy, but your infinite wisdom. And how you deal with us is just absolutely amazing. All of it is amazing. Your whole system of grace is amazing. And we see, even in this passage in the Old Testament, you at work and having your servant Abraham to talk about in a symbolic form that you will provide a lamb. And you did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, as your other servant John the Baptist called him, for sending the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. And all we have to do is trust in him, believe on him for our salvation. And that same servant, that same Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your Son, is coming back for us. And this is our blessed hope. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to keep hope alive and help us to learn from your saints of old, the Israelites, how to do that better. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen and amen. Thumbs up, thumbs down. You may be seated. Thumbs up, thumbs down. It's still not showing. Okay, we need that fixed now. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil is attacking again this morning. So I want to invite all of our friends who are on the other lines going out of here. We have 13 different platforms that I'm appearing on live right now. The main camera is down at Second Coming Chapel. And that would mean go to church online and GOBN TV as well. So switch over to one of our Facebook lines, Facebook Live lines, or one of our Periscope lines. And if you can't see us on these other lines and platforms. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Bruce Waltke said God tests his saints often through adversity or hardship in order to prove the quality of their faith by their obedience in the actual time space. Okay, focus on the other thing now. Go ahead and shut that down completely. And write that down. While we're going through, and by the way, may I say, and I've said it before a few times, one of the things that is very disturbing among so-called Christian believers is that when times are good, they're happy, they're cheerful, they're joyful, they're pleasant to be around. But when times are bad, things are not going the way we want them to go, they are uncheerful, unjoyful, sad, depressed, defeated, or disgusted. And so sad, what's so sad about it, it doesn't have to dip too low for people to get that way. Yet they claim to be followers of God. They claim to be Bible-believing Christians. They claim to be born-again people, saved people. But as soon as trouble comes, as soon as the child is sick, as soon as they're sick, as soon as the money is low and not coming in like it used to, and the debts are high, they're depressed, they're defeated, they're in despair, and they don't even want to serve God anymore. Ministry shut down. Things that they agreed to do in the church, they quit. So God allows tests in our lives. God tests his saints often through adversity or hardship in order to prove the quality of their faith, and even if they have faith, for I believe many in the church today don't even believe in Christ, and that's why you need to examine your faith and see whether or not you be in the faith. And he tests their faith by their obedience in the actual time-space continuum we call history. While life, while you're in the midst of life, in the words of Sergeant Mitchell, life happens. Life happens. And when life happens, that means bad things are happening. The world uses other words. Stuff happens. Mess happens. And it does. I don't care who you are. And how are you? How are you doing when mess happens? When your spouse is not acting right, when your children are acting like the devil, when a Judas betrays you, when the debts are high and the money is low and not coming in at all, and you can't see afar off, are you still joyful? Are you still cheerful? And are you still faithful to the Lord in the service he's called you to? Do you still have hope in the second coming of Christ? Do you still love Jesus so much? Or you don't even feel like singing the songs of Zion anymore? You don't even feel like going to church? You don't even feel like serving God? You'd rather sit down in your depression and lick your wounds and throw a pity party? And we have many pity party Christians in the church today. They like to drag other crabs down into their depression with them. And they know how to cast that depressed eye to those who will respond to their pity party. What's wrong? And they got them hooked right there. In the binding of Isaac, the saint Abraham is torn between his faith in the divine promises of God and the command to nullify them, between his affection for God's gift and his affection for God. Someone said, I think it was Chip Ingram said recently, that we have become caught up with the blessings and not the blesser. And that's where many Christians are today, and that's just the truth. And if Chip Ingram said it, surely it is true, because he's right smack dab in the middle of the evangelical church, big time. For some reason, in other words, he's a pastor, he's not a prophet. So if he's saying it, basically saying the same thing I'm saying, you know it's true. It's coming from a pastor's heart, not from a prophet or an evangelist. God chose this history to validate reality. He does not test us to lead us into sin, but to test the quality of what we are. My God, help us all. The proof of what we are is what we do. Are we still faithful and obedient in serving God in the midst of going through hell? We are not to put God to the test, but to respond humbly and obediently when God calls. This is Abraham's stance when he replies, "Here I am." Abraham's humility and obedient action are the models for the Christian faith. End of quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, the sacrifice of Isaac is one of the most well-known stories, true stories, episodes in Abraham's life. This man had left behind his family, all of his acquaintances, his religion, and his familiar environment to go to a strange land. Having faith in the God of the universe. Along the way, God told him that he, a 100-year-old man, you talk about being tested and tried, and his wife, a 90-year-old woman, even back then, that was getting on up there, would have a child who would carry on the family lineage, a key element in God's plan to make Abraham the father of a great nation and the father of faith throughout the world. Yet when Isaac comes of age, God comes to Abraham and says, rather matter-of-factly, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." It seems particularly cruel to some people that God would remind Abraham that Isaac is his only son. It's not like he had other sons to carry on. And the son whom he loves in the same sentence in which he commands Abraham to sacrifice. What a test. What a test. Abraham was not a stranger to the practice of sacrifice. Almost all of the pagan religions of that day engaged in the ritual slaughter of animals, and sad to say, some of children, as part of their religious practice. Abraham himself had sacrificed animals as a form of worship to God. But to sacrifice a child, an only child, a child of promise, a child beloved by his parents, was unheard of. Yet Abraham obeyed God even in this matter. Abraham, the father of faith. He did not stagger. He did not draw back. He was sure that he was serving the one and only true God. Abraham did not know it, but his sacrifice of Isaac was a type of what God the Father would do with his only begotten and beloved Son, Jesus Christ, Abraham's descendant, hundreds of years in the future. Isaac, in a way, foreshadows the Son of God, who would willingly obey the will of his father, even unto death. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, learning how to hope again in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you doing? Are you depressed because of the test? Are you defeated? Are you still in your perpetual pity party, trying to drag others into that little tornado that's in your life? Or are you keeping hope alive like Abraham did, by faith in God, believing in his word, trusting in his word and in his love and in his grace, that after a while, by and by, even though you might be going through tribulation, which Jesus promised, everything is going to be all right? Is your hope in God? Is your hope in the second coming of Christ? Dear Christian friend, let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many, as you know, Lord, it's so sad. So many people who claim to know you as Savior are depressed, sad, defeated, have quit because bad things have happened. We can't find them in church anymore because they don't want to serve anymore. And they have forsaken their posts. They were called up to teach classes, called up to preach. And sad to say today, Lord, some have lost all hope in your second coming. And they are taking their own lives. This is an epidemic in the world, in this nation. And now, sad to say, it's a problem in the church, which is unheard of for 2,000 years. As you know, Lord, the devil is raising the pressure, and we ought to endure unto the end, but so many are not. And so, Lord, we pray for the true saints, Lord, to confess their sins, to repent of their evil ways, to humble themselves, to seek your face, and to get back to you, their first love. Revive all of us again, and Lord, help us to keep hope alive. Help us to follow the examples of the good saints in the Old Testament, the Israelites, who continue to trust in the first coming of Messiah. And now that we're on this side, help us to continue to trust in the second coming of the Messiah, who has promised that everything will be all right. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend, if you're with us today and you have not trusted in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, I urge you to trust in him today, because he is coming back for a second time. He's coming again. and you do not want to be left behind. Here's how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your soul's salvation from sin and the consequences of sin. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. We go to hell because of sin. The body goes to the grave, our soul goes to hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior. And hell is a real place, and you need to accept the fact that you're on the road to hell right now if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible and most preachers today. So hell is a real place. And my job is to proclaim the gospel to you, to tell you about the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who died for your sins. And all you have to do is believe on Him so that you will not have to go to hell, but rather go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell, rather to go to heaven. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of constant torment, and hell is a place that you can't get out of. It will go on forever and ever, because the soul will live somewhere forever and ever, either in hell or the lake of fire or heaven. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with Him. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart to save your soul, and He will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask Him to save your soul today. Believe in your heart that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. The greatest present you can give Him is your faith in Him. Pray after me, repeat after me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart if you're willing to trust Christ as Savior today. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments through lying, through stealing, by taking your holy name in vain, by dishonoring my parents, disobeying my parents, and putting other things and other people before you, committing the sin of idolatry. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.